Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition, Wednesday, June 26, 2013. Coming up in the noon hour, a newsmaker interview with U.S. Senator Jeff Flake. 20 minutes past the hour, TUSD board member Cam Juarez will be with me in studio. 30 past the hour, Hank Amos, head of the Tucson Realty and Trust, with his mid-year commercial real estate update. Then we'll close out the show with CPA Michael C. Flowers talking about some of the 25 most common mistakes made by small businesses. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Live line in the nation's capital. U.S. Senator Jeff Flake is with us. Senator Flake, how are you?
Hey, great. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, we only have a short amount of time, and there's a couple of major issues that, of course, I want to cover today. And before we get to immigration, your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court overturning the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, which will bring sweeping changes to the way Social Security and other benefits are awarded and open the door to resume same-sex marriages in California. Your reaction, Senator Flake?
I don't think any of us were particularly surprised by the ruling. I think that was the way the court was leaning for a while, and so it looks like the action is going to be at the state level. The federal government has spoken. The Supreme Court has spoken.
Do you think these gay marriage decisions underscore how attitudes toward this fundamental question about marriage have changed in this country?
Well, I think if you look over the past couple of years, the number of states that have okayed gay marriage, I think that that does indicate a shift in public opinion. And I think that's been reflected at the ballot box and in attitudes.
I know you met with on a conference call today with the Washington Post and some other national media for an update. You're, of course, one of the members of the so-called Gang of Eight on getting immigration reform passed, the passage of immigration control. Where does it stand right now? Do you think we will have a vote? I know there were some minor issues, you told the Washington Post, that still are being ironed out by staff. What's the timetable that you have right now?
Right now, we just voted on cloture for the bill, and so the bill will be voted on tomorrow in final form. There still could be, theoretically, some amendments agreed to or some of the pending amendments considered, but I doubt that's going to happen. We couldn't get an agreement between both the parties on a list of amendments to be offered, and so it looks like the bill will be voted on. My guess is there'll be between 65 and 68 votes for the bill, and it'll be up to the House from here.
How do you think it will do in the House?
You know, I hope that the House, I'd hoped all along the House would pass their own bill. It looks like the House is moving forward on some border security elements. That's a good thing. But I hope that they will address some of these other items that are addressed in this bill. And that'll make it easier to then combine the bills in a conference committee and hopefully pass something in the end. It's far overdue.
U.S. Senator Jeff Flake with us on the Buckmaster Show. Senator Flake, why is immigration reform good for conservatives? Many conservatives have not come on board with this, saying that this is just an effort to harvest Hispanic voters. What do you say to conservatives, and especially Tea Party conservatives, about this immigration reform?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to say. I can tell you, first and foremost, conservatives value the rule of law. We want to be able to have laws that are respected, and right now that's not the case. When you have some 11 million people living in the shadows, using fake IDs and crossing the border, sometimes at will, that's not a good situation. Then border security, national security elements of border security, the conservatives strongly believe in. We've got to have a more secure border, and we in Arizona understand that better than any state. And then third, we believe that we ought to have more of a free flow of labor for labor needs. That's what conservatives believe in. This will have a temporary worker plan to allow us to access the labor that we need to grow the economy. And going forward also, employer enforcement. Employers should not be able to hire people who are here illegally. And too often that's still the case. And this will make mandatory or e-verify mandatory. And there are triggers on all of this as well. Nobody will be able to adjust their status until all of these provisions are in place that we're talking about. That's something conservatives have fought for a long time. So for all of those reasons, I think that conservatives will support this bill.
The latest amendment that was passed earlier in the week would, I understand, would double the size of the Border Patrol and would require, I think it's at least 700 miles of fencing on the U.S.-Mexico border. Some are saying from the, there was a piece in the Arizona Daily Star on Sunday quoting the head of the Border Patrol here in Tucson saying, they have concerns about doubling the size of their staff because right now they don't have the resources to work with, and they're having to double up a lot of the officers. The agents go out two to a car where it should be, in many cases, one to a car to cover more terrain. What do you say about that, adding doubling the Border Patrol?
Well, thanks. Within the bill as well, I mean, we went to the Border Patrol. We went to the front line and said, what do you need? And they gave us a punch list, basically saying this is the technology we need, these are the resources we need to have a secure border. And what we've done, because I think a lot of us have little faith in the Department of Homeland Security on their own to come up with a plan and metrics that will actually work. And so we've given some minimums, saying here's what you have to have in place, and you can go beyond it. There is some latitude beyond it, but here's what you have to have. And within that, a number of items in terms of technology, fixed aircraft, radar, rotorcraft, fencing, as you mentioned, 700 miles of fencing will have to be completed before anyone in a provisional status adjusts their status to get a green card. So there are some triggers here that that it will be effective.
Will it be enough to convince Republicans in the House that this will mean that the border is secure and they'll come on board?
I hope so. We've said all along that border security has to be paramount. That's what John McCain and myself went into these negotiations with, and we believe that we have it. I can tell you, I don't know how anybody can look at this plan, particularly after the the Corker-Hoven Amendment was attached, and say that it's soft on border security or we aren't dealing with border security first. This is a far stronger border security piece than I think any of us thought possible at the beginning.
Let me move on. Perhaps I'll come back to immigration if I've got time, but I do want to talk a little bit about the gun control supporters are hammering away at you for voting against the Senate's background checks on that legislation after telling one of the victims of the movie theater shootings in Aurora, Colorado, in a personal letter to her that you supported expanding them. What do you say to these people, Senator Flake?
Hey, I said in the letter that I supported strengthening our background check system, and that's exactly what I voted for. Remember, there was the Grassley Amendment, which strengthened the background check system and, in fact, included a bill that I had written with Lindsey Graham and a few others to make sure that those with mental illness that should not have weapons would not get weapons. That's one area where we really need to strengthen the background check system. What I voted against was the Toomey Manchin proposal that significantly expanded the background check system into private sales, although it was said that it would not cover private sales. The effect of that amendment would have significantly covered private sales. And so I did exactly what I said I would do.
Let's see if we can work in a quick listener comment. Zach is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Quickly, Zach, with Senator Flake.
Yes, Senator Flake. Thanks for taking the call. Question for you. What's the urgency in making the illegal aliens citizens, number one? Why don't you just have like a bracero program, a guest program where they can work, come out of the shadows, they're taxed, but they don't have voting rights? And then secondly, how do you justify supporting 20,000 more border agents when we're already bankrupt? I mean, are we going to be borrowing more money from China?
Hey, thank you. Great questions, Zach. On the first one, nobody who is here illegally can become a citizen for 13 years. There is a special category for DREAM Act kids and a few, one category of farm workers. But beyond that, a 13-year period, probationary period that people will be in, 10 years before they could even apply for a green card. And so there's certainly not a rush to do that. You mentioned the border agents, and it's not just that. There are many other substantial costs to the bill, the employer enforcement elements as well. But what we set out at the beginning to do is to make sure that the bill paid for itself, because a large number of people who are here illegally will be seeking to obtain a legal status, a probationary status. They'll have to pay significant fines and penalties for being here illegally to do so. And that's what we're using to pay for this program. And we've been careful to adjust those figures in a way that it pays for the bill. So you have a very good point. We are broke here at the federal level. I've been pointing that out for a number of years here. So I certainly wouldn't be supporting a bill that I didn't think covered those costs.
Really quickly, Dave is a listener. Dave, you have to make your question very short with Senator Flake, please. Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. Senator, what I'm wondering, and it's been questioned among us working right now, is that if this passes, these people will not be eligible for Obamacare, which means if I'm an employer, why would I maintain employment that I have to maintain health coverage for when legally I can start hiring these people with no repercussion?
Thank you, Dave.
With a bunch of savings.
Okay, go ahead.
That's a good question, and it's as you know, I'm not in favor of Obamacare. I voted against it here, and there are going to be some big problems moving ahead with the costs of Obamacare, and it is going to be a steep cost on employers. But you face a conundrum here. If you don't want anybody who is here in a provisional status to benefit from subsidies that are paid through Obamacare. And so we wanted to make sure that nobody who is here on a provisional working status would obtain those benefits. But it does present an issue with employers. So I just say there's no easy way to look at that. And we thought the lesser of evils, if you will, was to make sure that those who are here in a provisional status did not have access to Obamacare.
Senator Jeff Flake, thank you for spending some time with us on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Thanks a lot. Jeff Flake with us on the Buckmaster Show. In studio with me next, Cam Juarez. Lot to talk about TUSD and perhaps the new superintendent. All of that's coming up on a jam-packed Buckmaster Show. A lot to cover in the noon hour. Right back.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our midweek edition, 1221. We thank Senator Flake for taking some time to join us. Now we thank Cam Juarez, Governing Board Member TUSD, for stopping by the studio here at KVOI. Cam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
The vote was 4-1 when the board decided, Dr. Stegeman, who made his issues very clear with the superintendent-to-be, Mr. Sanchez from Texas. Why did you vote for H.T. Sanchez, and why was he the lone candidate?
You know, we can't get into too much of the details as to why he was the lone candidate. There's so much to be said about that, and unfortunately, because of the confidentiality that we're dealing with, as you've read in the press, is something that I would like to honor. For sure. And I know that the four of us enthusiastically supported Dr. Sanchez, and we believe that he is going to do a wonderful job with our district. It's a new direction, but certainly along the lines of some of the good things that we have been doing at the district.
Is he a carpetbagger? Is he only going to be here a couple of years?
You know, I've never liked that term myself. But,
all right. I'm sorry.
But I would say, Dr. Sanchez is a family man, and I really appreciate his honesty up front with us. During the multiple interviews we had with him, and he was very upfront about it. He said, look, you know, my kids are young, my wife has her own career, and it's not very fair for me to be moving them around, and it's not really fair for my wife to have to restart her career every time I do that. In addition to that, I would like to come to the district to do what I think is being done right at the district and kind of expand on that and try to take it further.
But you like this guy.
I really liked him, you know. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about how much time you get to spend with our candidates and really how well you get to know them. You know, we had a series of really, really good questions that we all kind of came to consensus on. And he was answering those questions, most of our questions, in his first few responses. So he was really understanding how this district works. He was very knowledgeable about the district. It's not lost on me that there was some issues during the forum, but we addressed those in a follow-up interview, phone interview with him, and he addressed those, I think, very appropriately, and I think he did even more homework and made sure that he understood where we were at.
Where he is right now, it's Ector County, an independent school district outside mm-hmm. Odessa, Texas. He will be the subject of a special meeting by the school board back there. I think they're going to meet on Monday to try to convince him He's the interim superintendent right now. I think they're going to try to convince him to become the permanent on Monday. But in the meantime, he's going to be talking with you folks, right?
Sure. You know, I'd like to quote the title of a Cinderella song, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone. And, you know, Dr. Sanchez obviously was looking for other opportunities, and he found us. And we're very confident that all that's going to, you know, come out in the wash. And we'll be discussing his contract fairly soon. And I think much sooner than Nectar County. So I think it's one of these things where, you know, there's a lot of stuff swirling around. But I think ultimately at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding.
You think he'll come here rather than stay in Texas?
You know, he's got a lot of family there, but I think he's looking forward to coming and fulfilling his responsibilities that he's committed to here in Tucson.
TUSD Governing Board last night, Cam, you and your colleagues voted 4-1. Again, it was Dr. Stegman voting against this particular measure to pay $300,000 for a marketing campaign to kind of, I guess it's an effort to increase enrollment and improve the district's public image?
For the sake of clarity, we are already paying some of that money out through different funding sources. Okay. The magnet program requires that we spend so much money on advertising. The USP now requires that we spend so much money for advertising for the sake of moving, you know, our different groups around so that we have equity. So it made sense for us to add a little bit more money from M&O. And it's not lost on me that we've, you know, cut jobs and we've had to close schools. The issue is that this made more sense for the district, and it made more sense financially. So we're spending a little bit more. I'm not completely convinced that a one-size-fits-all campaign is going to work. So we definitely need input from the community so that we can make this something that the community is invested in and have some input into. And so I think those opportunities will be provided, and we certainly will push for those because we need the buy-in from our community. Otherwise, this ad campaign will not work.
You've got to sell the TUSD story or else you're dead in the water.
Absolutely.
You really are. You know that.
Absolutely. And, you know, and our frontline customer service reps are our teachers and our staff, and we understand that they're not completely happy. And we understand this was difficult money to spend. But if we don't spend it, our competitors, the charter schools, other districts are already spending it. And it makes sense for us to do some advertising. Obviously, it makes sense to smooth some things over, and we're in the process of doing that. We're heading in that direction. I know it, we've made some difficult decisions, but they're decisions that we have to make. And whether or not I agree with all of them, we have to make them. And the advertising will speak to the positive things that are happening in our district. All the kindergarten, our early childhood centers, the fact that our numbers are already going up with some of our testing and our achievement. And I think that, again, the proof will be in the pudding.
New curriculum available for community review through July the 8th. The public is invited to provide feedback on what are called, I guess, culturally relevant literature courses.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, this curriculum has been vetted by a lot of national experts, folks that actually are doing this kind of work day to day. So, of course, we appreciate the input that we're getting from our community members, whether or not they have experience in this type of work. I think it's important to put this out there and let folks take a look at it. I'm a little concerned that this is the only curriculum that we're putting out there for vetting. We don't put our math and science curriculum out there, but, you know, I understand the controversy around this, and so I think it's an opportunity for us to let us know what they're thinking. We have a lot of positives. Sure, we have some negatives, but I think we have had a lot of positive feedback through some of that input already.
And the website is TUSD1 for District1. Yep. .org, and that's where folks can
That's exactly right. That's
give
exactly
their opinion.
Right. Yep. And so we're also getting emails, and we're collating those emails and moving those emails on to our board secretary who's putting together those and incorporating those into what the input that we're getting.
Well, I've only got about 30 seconds left, but again, bottom line on Mr. H.T. Sanchez, 38 years old. What did you like best about him? What stood out for you?
The guy is younger. He's younger than I am. But
really?
Yep, okay. I'm going to be 41. Yeah. And Dr. Sanchez, the limited quote unquote amount of experience he has is stuff that it's proven. It's stuff that works. It's stuff that's relevant. They had a USP in their district. They have the bond issue that they've been dealing with successfully. They've got some achievement and achievement in areas that is well documented what some of those challenges were. And I think he recognizes those things. What I liked the most about him was his commitment to trying to get input from the community and try to bring some unity to the Tucson Unified School District.
Well, we'll look forward, Cam, as to having Dr. Sanchez with us in the coming weeks.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Cam.
You, Bill. You have
All
a good
right.
day.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 12:30, it is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. Next, Hank Amos, CEO and President of Tucson Realty and Trust. We'll talk about commercial real estate, the mid-year report from Hank. That's coming up next. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. House Speaker John Boehner says he's sorry to see the Supreme Court strike down part of the Defense of Marriage Act, a provision that denied federal tax, health, and pension benefits from same-sex couples who are legally married. Boehner says he hopes states will continue defining marriage as the union of one man and one woman. Today's Supreme Court ruling that cleared the way for same-sex marriages to resume in California has been greeted with applause by a crowd outside San Francisco City Hall. Massachusetts police have charged New England Patriots tight end Aaron Hernandez with murder and weapons counts in connection with the killing of a semi-pro football player. His body was found about a mile from Hernandez's house. On Wall Street, the Dow up about 170 points. More details at srnnews.com.
West in La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:35. Joining us on the live line, Hank Amos, President and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. Hank, how are you today?
I'm good this afternoon, and you?
Very, very well, and we're looking forward to your give us a little update on the mid-year report. Of course, every 6 months, you and your colleagues put out a report on commercial real estate. Hank, why don't we start with an overview of the retail? Well, give us an overview generally of the market right now.
Well, I think I mentioned to you that the market is kind of like, you know, how fast can you run in molasses? You know, it's kind of like two steps forward, one step back. There's just not a lot of velocity, especially business velocity, in our community. So what happens is that translates to not very many deals being done. In good times or, you know, normal times, you know, there's a certain number of office transactions being done and retail transactions and industrial transactions. And those are just not as many as we normally would get. And we have some deals happening here and there and some bigger deals happening here and there, much better than it was a couple years ago, but just not that velocity. So it kind of feels like we're running in molasses. And the other thing is the deals just take longer to get done. The transactions are a little, you know, take longer, the negotiations harder, and everything just seems to take a long time. So, and some deals we don't even make it to the finish line. So it's still a difficult market. We definitely turned the corner, but you can still see the corner. You know, we're not that far from it.
And it is slowly improving, I guess, and you've got some vacant big box stores. They are becoming fewer and fewer, and overall the retail vacancy rate is below 10%. That's the good news, about 9.5%. But, you know, Hank, you drive up and down the main streets in Tucson, you still see a tremendous amount of empty storefronts.
Well, it's getting better. We absorbed about 231,000 square feet. You're right, we're about 9.5% vacancy, so it's nice to see that in the single digit. We are starting to see some of those big boxes you get leased up, so that's good. But, you know, one of the reasons why things are improving is there's, especially in our occupancy, is that there's not as many retail construction projects as there were in the past, so you're not competing against those. There's been an assemblage of some of these central area properties, so you look at Broadway and Wilmot, where El Mercado used to be, and I believe that was like a 40,000-square-foot center, and that's now torn down, so there's only 13,000-square-foot CVS that's there. And then you see our big boxes getting leased up. So it's getting better, but yes, you do still see in these strip centers and some of these retail centers, vacancy in there, and that still has to do with the economy. The economy is still pretty sluggish. Not everybody survived. It's kind of tough to survive 6 or 7 years, and some are making it, some are not. You're seeing restaurants kind of go out of business. You see new ones come in and may put others out of business. It's still a tough economy here in Tucson.
Hank Amos is with us. Hank is the president and CEO of Tucson Realty and Trust. We're talking about commercial real estate. You can't really talk about commercial real estate without talking about residential real estate, and I know Tucson Realty and Trust doesn't do residential real estate anymore, but how does the improving residential picture help your sectors?
Well, obviously, it helps a lot because, you know, Tucson is a real estate-driven economy. You know, that's where we're at. So when our residential housing's doing strong and we start seeing those sales and that inventory gets absorbed, then home builders have to build new homes and build new communities. And when they start doing that, contractors come back into our community, or they start growing and they need industrial space to do this or industrial space to do that. So, and as we have more contractors and our economy is doing better, that helps all the other segments of the marketplace. So the good news is that our residential market is really pretty strong. They're having a great year. They're still having a good year. And it's much better than it was a year ago, and a year ago was much better than the year before. Still not quite at Phoenix levels. I mean, Phoenix is on fire. It's one of the best markets in the country. But if you talk to a residential agent, they're busy and they're doing well. And that will transcend into the commercial market because, as I mentioned before, the successes of that market will just kind of fall through and filter through.
How are we doing downtown? I know you have had some mixed feelings about the downtown development. Are you seeing some real positives down there?
Well, you know, we talked about that a few years ago.
I know we did.
And downtown was just not moving. And the city of Tucson made some initiatives, but it's really the private sector that has just gotten on board on that, and they have made it happen. And I took a tour of downtown about 2 months ago with Michael Keith and saw everything that's happening, and it was like an oh-my-God experience. My jaw was dropped. I was seeing from my own eyes everything that's been transpiring, hearing the stories of what else is coming and what's going on there. I mean, they've had, I believe, 40 new, there's been 140 projects that have started. Over 40 new restaurants and bars have opened. Downtown's completely different than what we used to see, and it's just it's now become the hot spot. I'm dealing with an entertainment group, the number one entertainment group in the state of Arizona, in Southwest actually. They want to be located downtown. Some big good brand names in restaurants want to go downtown. Downtown's on fire, and that's good because that might be the spark or the catalyst to kind of help jumpstart our community and kind of maybe spread out through the rest of Tucson. But it's doing very well. I would never imagine it in a million years that downtown could be doing what they're doing right now.
Well, office space, what about downtown office space? Still lagging behind?
Still lagging. Now as downtown picks up, and which it is, and you start seeing retail, you're going to start seeing some folks that, they're going to want to live down there, and they're going to want an office down there. Still not doing as great, maybe, downtown. I mean, office space overall has kind of just been hanging in there, not doing much the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I could give you the same report a year ago or the year before that. So that pretty much says what downtown's doing as far as office space, too. Maybe not as well downtown. Downtown office space is more for the government and areas that, deal with the judicial system down there and all. So maybe not quite as strong downtown, but overall office is just kind of, hanging out.
Going through your sector reports, when it comes to industrial space, that I think that's a bright area. Vacancies now are in the 12% range, and when we talked a couple of years ago, it was near 20%. So I think that's a positive, isn't it?
It's definitely a positive. And everything is kind of slowly kind of growing out. Like I said, running in molasses. And it's getting better. I would say maybe next year might be the big year for a change in industrial. Because industrial rates have kind of pretty much been the same for the past 18 months. You're 30 cents per square foot for large distribution space to 60 cents for flex space. But the one thing that I think that can really help us is that we have a few number of 100,000 square foot facilities. There's hardly anything available in Phoenix. So when a company wants to relocate to Arizona and the ACA is and the governor's office is selling Arizona hard, if they have 100,000 square feet and they have to go somewhere and most don't want to wait to build their own facility, they're being directed to Tucson. And so I would hope that, and I would think that in the next year, year and a half, that you're going to see a lot of these facilities getting leased up because there's just no place to go. And we can be the beneficiary of this anomaly in the Phoenix market and be able to pick up some more jobs down here. So I think industrial has some positives definitely in the future.
So those are 100,000 square feet for a company that wants to move right in and have something available. They're out near the airport, I assume?
Yeah, most are down at airport. There's some on the Houghton corridor, but most are in that airport area, give or take. And the other game changer too that I think that not only for the industrial market but for Tucson is this deep water port in Guaymas, because now there's a backlog. And you have to wait a while for these ships that are coming from Asia. They're going to Long Beach, and they hang out there waiting for a slip to kind of come in. And it's actually shorter distance to come around the Baja and come up to Guaymas. It's a shorter distance to travel, and we think that can become a really a sizable port, and they would bring all that through Tucson. And so Tucson could be the beneficiary of that deep water port. And
okay, Hank.
I'm looking forward to that.
Hank Amos, thank you very much. Hank Amos from Tucson Realty and Trust. Have a great day, Hank.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Hank Amos, 1245 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Are you looking for a place that's 15 degrees cooler? A yes, this weekend. 3.5 hours or so east of Tucson to Silver City, and so much going on. Fun place to explore the historic downtown area, and there are plenty of fine places to stay in Silver City, including Wildwood Retreat and Hot Springs, Pinos Altos Cabins. You can get the full list on their really nice website, southwestnewmexico.org, for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Michael C. Flower, certified public accountant, is with us next on the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:50 on this midweek edition. It's always our pleasure to welcome our CPA, Certified Financial Planner, Michael C. Flowers. He is the CPA of the Buckmaster Show, and I always recommend, and we run a 30-second spot every day on the program, Michael, telling people and suggesting if they need help with a CPA, this is a guy that I trust, and I trust you.
Bill, you've been a long-term friend, and I really appreciate what you do on the radio and appreciate what you do for our firm.
Let me talk a little bit about small businesses. I own a small business, and many of the listeners who are listening right now own small businesses. Right now, we're not necessarily focused so much on taxes, but we are focused on some of the things that we can do to maybe lessen the tax load for the next tax year. What are some of the common mistakes that businesses make, Michael?
Well, I think they're all over the lot. My favorite one is probably failing to hire a CPA. Many businesses operate with a bookkeeper or somebody's mother-in-law or somebody who's done some accounting work, and they sort of rely on that advice.
Maybe they took an accounting course in college.
Right. Anybody can be an accountant, as you know, Bill, but not everybody can be a CPA. CPAs are regulated. We have to have a license. We have to pass a vigorous exam. We're regulated by the State Board of Accountancy, but the title accountant, and not many people know the distinction between accountants and CPAs, can be held by anybody. You know, I'm an accountant because I didn't balance my checkbook last month. You know, so that's one of the bigger ones. The other thing is sometimes not hiring the right people or not firing people on time and sort of gauging themselves with the economy. We found a number of businesses set up with the improper business structure. So if you're starting a new business or you have an existing business, one of the most dangerous ways to operate a business is as a partnership. And the reason I say that is because the owners are exposed to unlimited liability.
This is so important, and this is something I discovered as I became with Bill Buckmaster Communications, became an LLC. This thing about the S corporation status, it is so critical to saving you money in the long run.
About 85% of our clients have the subchapter S status after their business, and that's mostly for an operating business. The most important aspect of that is those entities are either operating as an LLC or as an actual corporation, which gives them protection from liability. And we do not recommend one business operates without the protection of personal liability. You could ruin yourself for lives. We had a doctor that his wife had a little flower business, basket business, and if somebody sued the wife as a sole proprietor, they would have full access to the docs and the joint couple's assets, and it made no sense. So even for a relatively small business not doing that much volume, we strongly suggested, and the client took our advice, to incorporate so that if something did go wrong in the business, they weren't exposing their personal assets.
So many, you have published a list of 25 common mistakes made by businesses. This looks like a big one to me anyway. Failure to do planning to save the self-employment taxes.
Well, that's the situation with the subchapter S corporate. If you're a sole proprietor, and I say selling shoes, and you make $200,000, that entire $200,000 is subject to self-employment tax. And self-employment tax is, if you work for somebody, 7.65% of their earnings
goes towards Social Security, and then their employer matches that 7.65. If you're self-employed, you pay both shares. So you pay 15% of your income on top of possibly being in a 35 or 39.6 tax bracket, as well as the state taxes. So the self-employment tax component can be one of the largest expenses for a small business. If that same business incorporated as a subchapter S corporation, and with a subchapter S corporation, you can pay your owner a salary, whereas in a sole proprietor, there's no concept of salary. It's all deemed to be earnings. When you pay your owner a salary of $50,000, if that's a reasonable salary, then you pay no self-employment tax on $150,000, and that can be $10,000, $12,000, $15,000. So it's a significant tax savings, and the only thing you're really changing is your business structure. You're protecting yourself from liability, and I've done probably 20 seminars in the local community on advising small businesses that are operating as a sole proprietor. And if you are operating as a sole proprietor, feel free to give our office a call. We don't charge for an initial consultation, but it's probably the biggest thing that you can do for your business is getting out of being a sole proprietorship.
If folks hear you and they listen to the show, can they get a kind of a free initial consultation?
Yeah, we do that as
you?
A courtesy to you, Bill, mm-hmm. and as a courtesy to new clients. We offer a free half hour, generally up to an hour initial consultation, just to discuss the issue. Once we then hone in on the issue and provide solutions and do the necessary paperwork, then we do go on the clock at that point in time. But many clients come to me, or new clients come, and I give them the advice, and there's no charge, and they're thankful for the advice, and I'm glad that, you know, I hate to see those bankruptcies affect all the other businesses in town.
That's
so sometimes
true.
We make a save that way.
Michael C. Flower, certified public accountant. And, Michael, your office is very conveniently located. You're basically just west of the intersection of Country Club and Broadway.
Yeah, we're in the middle of town, and I started the firm in 1984, so we're coming up on 30 years.
Wow.
Flies. And I've been in that office location for at least 25 years, yes. It's just west of Broadway and Country Club on the north side.
It's a friendly office, and folks, you treat people right, and that's one of the most important.
We treat people the way I'd like to be treated, and one of my skills is having the ability to translate very difficult, complex tax situations into very understandable, this is what I would do if I was you, and that's how I treat my clients. If I was you, this is what I would do. And then I would hope that they take the advice, and they know that it comes with a wealth of experience and a number of businesses that I've been working with throughout the years.
You're getting a lot of calls about the Obama, so-called Obama health care plan, and what it's going to mean for businesses?
It's scary. It's scary, scary, scary.
Give us the bottom line.
Yes, the bottom line is if you're an employer group of over 50 employees, and that's 50 full-time equivalents, and of course the government makes that a very difficult formula to determine. So if you have, you know, if you've 10 employees, you don't have to worry about this as much, but if you're more than 50 employees, they're going to force those groups to offer coverage to the employees, and if they don't, there's a penalty of $2,000 per employee. So if you have 50 employees, it's a penalty of $100,000, and that $100,000 is non-deductible because penalties are not deductible. So they're trying to force the larger employees to offer coverage. But by the same token, if the cost per employee's coverage is $5,000 per year, I fear that many businesses are going to elect to pay the penalty, and therefore those that they thought they were covering will still be not covered by insurance.
Well, it would seem that it also could discourage somebody if they were like wanted to expand the business, maybe say, I'm not going to go more than 50 employees.
there were some stories in the media, and I think it was a lot of the fast food type restaurants where they were going to limit their employees to under 30 hours a week because the determination for full-time equivalents has to do with 30 hours or more per week. And so some businesses, if they have 60, 65 employees, may try to get below the 50, but it's a complicated anything the government does is four times more difficult than if you and I tried to do it.
But okay. Michael, we're going to have to wrap it up. Just about out of time. Folks can get a free half-hour consultation with certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers. The firm is Flowers, Rieger & Associates, located on Broadway. And probably the best way to find out more about your company and your firm is to go to my website, buckmastershow.com. We have a link there to your website,
Michael. I appreciate that, Bill. And we do have a number of clients that come through that, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Michael, have a great week.
You do the same, Bill, and keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much. Coming up tomorrow on the Wake Up Tucson show, City Council candidate Mike Pollock will be the guest. Also, they'll be profiling the Triangle T Guest Ranch in Dragoon, Arizona, and they'll talk with UA Athletic Director Dr. Greg Byrne. That's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe tomorrow morning. John C. Scott Show is up 3 to 5 this afternoon on KVOI, and then we'll be back, of course, at 12:04 with you tomorrow. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan. Thank you to Culligan. Boy, do you need the Culligan water now in this hot weather. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. All of our in-studio guests are offered, and our guests gladly take a bottle of Culligan. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.